to honor you now at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Over 40 years ago, I was at Livingston University, and I was actually a part of the Baptist Student Union that met every Tuesday of every week. One of my fondest memories of attending the Baptist Student Union was this little chorus I heard one night that was called, "Heaven is a Wonderful Place." And I'm going to sing it, and I just wonder if y'all might could pick it up a little bit. It's an easy song, maybe. Maybe okay. You could pick it up and go with it.
Y'all try it out?
But let me give you just a little version that I've been playing in my head for about 40 years now. It goes like this. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, 'cause heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there.
It's a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there.
Y'all picked that up pretty fast. That was great. Heaven is a wonderful place, and that's what I've come to share with you today in response to the topic for today is, what will heaven be like? What will heaven be like when we get there one day? We're going to take a look at that. You know, this has been a very unusual week. It's been one of the most bizarre weeks I ever remember, and I'm sure in your mind too, it's just been crazy. And it was so crazy that they not only suspended but canceled the NCAA tournament, March Madness, as we know it, is nicknamed. But this month is going to be for everybody March Madness. It's going to be one of the maddest and madness times and histories that we've ever known. Just bizarre. Who would have thought that toilet paper would have been more important than most anything else? Who would have thought it? Who would have thought that we would be worshiping by live stream only this morning? But yet, there are many, many churches that are doing this option of worshiping by live stream only, and we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful for those that are here this morning that have made sure that we have everything up and running for live stream. Thank you so much. And thank you to the band. Wow, that was extraordinary today. I was just here thinking about what would this be like if people were in the room, and it's already so good. So thank you for bringing God's word and God's good news through music today in your own creative way. It's been good. So I thank you for being here. I thank you for tuning in at home. And this will be the way we'll worship in the next couple of weeks. We'll let you know beyond that what the plans are. But we thank you for your cooperation. Obviously, we want to do everything we can to thwart the spread of the coronavirus. And it may be in a few weeks we'll look and say, well, what we did didn't have a whole lot to do, but we don't know. So we don't want to take that chance. We want to be good citizens. We want to comply with the suggestions of our state officials and national officials who work with health, and really think that our being separated will help with this. So in a weird kind of way, we're being together by being separated. But it's going to be a great Easter when we all come together in a few weeks and we share the risen Lord. It might be the greatest Easter we've had in our lifetime. But I look forward to sharing that with you. But thank you for your cooperation. You know, the coronavirus worldwide still has not impacted that many people. There are some that feel like it's all hyped up way too much. But we have to remember that if any family has lost a member of their family because of the coronavirus, it is a significant and devastating occurrence. If it's our family, it doesn't matter what the percentages are. So we want to remember those who have died and those who are sick with the coronavirus. We also want to just cooperate in everything we can do to help rid this virus and have our lives return to normal yet again after this March madness. But there is a percentage that very few people in the world and in our country have the coronavirus and are likely to get the coronavirus. But there is something that is 100% sure. Every one of us is going to die. It may be a year from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now, 50 years from now. If it's a young person tuning in, it might be 100 years from now. But it's 100% sure we're going to die one day. And that's fearful to think about that. But yet, Jesus prepares a place for us, and we need not worry about it. So my message today is that heaven is a wonderful place, and heaven is something we can look forward to and not be in fear about, but our ultimate destination is going to be great. I once preached a sermon on heaven, and it was in a small country church when I was 23 years old. And I thought it'd be great to preach a sermon that was consistent with the theology of a lot of the hymns this church loved to sing. This church loved to sing and sing and sing, and they would sing out of the old hymnals that were just, I don't even know what they're called. They had all these hymns and beautiful tunes. And one book they used had all these songs about heaven. They sang them most every Sunday. And they would sing songs like "When We All Get to Heaven" or "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" And then when I preached on heaven, it wasn't the same expression on the faces. The smiles were gone. It looked serious. It felt somber. There was a glaze over their face that I couldn't seem to penetrate. And I was reminded of a story of a pastor who asked his congregation one time, said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" And nobody in the congregation held up their hand. He was confused and perplexed. And after the service, he pulled one of his lay leaders aside and he said, "Why didn't anybody say they wanted to go to heaven?" And he said, "We thought you meant today." And I suppose that's the way we think about heaven. It's going to happen one day, but it'll be a day down the road. I don't have to think about it much today. As I was thinking about how to organize this sermon, I thought, wow, there's so much in the Bible taught about heaven. There's so much that through the hundreds of years of the church, we can conclude about heaven. How do you organize such a sermon? I remember my daughter praying, Haley, my youngest daughter, when she was about 4 one night. She was tired. She didn't want to pray. I asked her to pray. And so she said this for her prayer: "Lord, bless all the people I know and all the people I don't know. Amen." And that's a way to pray for a lot of people, isn't it? So I thought about that approach with this sermon. What do we know and what do we don't know? So let's begin with what we don't know about heaven. What is it that we do not know? There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we do not know fully, but here's some things that came to mind this week. First of all, when we die, when we go to heaven, how is that going to work? After we breathe our last breath, after our heart ceases, how is it we enter into heaven? How does that work? Will it be immediate, or will it be where we rest in peace, so to speak? And actually, in the Bible, both of these views are supported. There are some teachings that sound as though we're not going to be raised until Christ Jesus comes. So we'll be asleep until that time, according to these scriptures. And you've heard the saying, may you rest in peace. I used to not like that, but I think maybe there's something to it. If we're awaiting for Christ's return, then we just say, may you rest in peace until Christ returns. But yet there's also scripture that makes it sound like our entrance into heaven is imminent after death, like our soul goes on to heaven immediately. And that's my personal point of view, but it's just my personal view. I certainly want to just say, I don't know for sure. I know what the scripture teaches. And there was a thief on the cross that said, can I enter into your kingdom today? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Sounded immediate. The scripture we had last week about Lazarus and the rich man, when they both died and they both went to their eternal state, Lazarus in hell, or rather the rich man in hell and Lazarus with Father Abraham, it sounded like that was immediate, that it happened in the twinkle of an eye, as the scripture would say. So we just don't know about that. We also don't know conclusively about other religions. Will other religions go to heaven? Now, in our text today, we as Christian people, we hear those words. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. That's our tradition. That's our understanding. But yet we remember that there were all those that lived before Jesus, like Father Abraham that is mentioned in last Sunday's text. So what do we make of all of those that lived before Jesus? What do we make of all those people that never hear the good news of Jesus and yet they die? How do we reconcile all of that? Theodore Runyon, a professor I had when I was at Emory University, said, we know that there's some people that have not heard the good news of Jesus on the face of the earth. He said, we have that question upside down, though. We should be more concerned about those of us that know about Jesus and are not telling. That is more of a condemnation. We know. If we know and we're not telling, that is something that is condemned. So it is our role to tell this good news that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we know. So we're to tell that good news. But whether other religions will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven, only God is the judge, and only God will have the final word on that. We don't have a conclusive answer. Another question that we do not know, we do not know the time of our death. We know it's going to come, it's 100% sure. But when will it come? How would it come? We don't know. And I think it's a great thing that we do not know how we're going to die or when we're going to die. That's perhaps a gift of God's grace that we do not know when we're going to die. If we knew when we were going to die, we'd be trying to beat it. We'd be trying to live our life differently. So it's a gift that we do not know when we're going to die. The final thing that I would say is that we do not know when Jesus is going to come. When Jesus comes, if we're still on this earth, we will not die. We'll be taken up with Jesus. We will receive the reward in a different way, which if Jesus comes before we die. So we do not know when Jesus is going to return. I know we have preachers and churches that have proclaimed they knew when Jesus was returning. But yet Jesus said himself, the Son of Man doesn't know the day or the hour that I'm coming. And if Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour he's coming, that's good enough for me. So we do not know when Jesus is going to come back. And that will obviously change everything about how we enter into heaven and what heaven is like. So now let's move on to what we do know through the scriptures about heaven. And really, it is a lot more specific than I anticipated when I wrote this sermon. It's a lot more specific about what heaven is like than I would have guessed. I have read Billy Graham's book, The Answer Book to Heaven, about heaven, and that's been helpful with some of my points, but most of these points I just took the scriptures and I opened them and I looked to see what is heaven going to be like based on the scriptures. Well, one thing it's not going to be like, you're not going to have to fly through Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta. In fact, you're going to be on a direct heavenly flight into the kingdom. But you're not going through Atlanta. Let's take a look. What is heaven going to be like? Jesus taught us that heaven is a prepared place in our text today. I go and prepare a place for you. And if Jesus prepares us a place, it is a better place than any place we've ever known. And Jesus has made a reservation for us in heaven. Think about that. Jesus is making a reservation for us. He wants us in heaven. He prepares a room for us, a place. And it is a better place. Jesus teaches about heaven. What will it be like? It'll be eternal. It'll be everlasting. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It'll be forever. That's hard for us to get our minds around, that heaven is forever, but it's eternal. Jesus teaches that heaven is a reward. So when we get to heaven, we will be able to claim our reward for the way we lived on this earth. How do I know that? Jesus said, if you're persecuted in this life, don't worry about it. If you go through difficulties in this life, don't worry about it, for great is your reward in heaven. Heaven is a reward for those that have walked with Jesus on this earth. And when we go through difficulties, when we go through the fire, Jesus rewards us in his kingdom in heaven. Heaven is also going to be something that is going to have splendor. It's going to be splendid, and it's going to have splendor. Now, the praise and worship here this morning was outstanding. It had some splendor. But we can take that up about 100 notches or more in heaven. It's going to be the greatest worship, the greatest time of praise and worship we've ever experienced when we're in the Lord's presence. Worship is going to be so exalting in the kingdom of heaven with God himself present. We're going to have clothes in heaven. We're not going to be naked. We are going to have new bodies. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? Now you think I've lost it on this point, don't you? But listen to this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. Beginning with verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Isn't that great? We're going to have clothes. We're going to have a new body, an imperishable body, Paul speaks about. And we're not going to revisit the Garden of Eden ever again. You know, think about nakedness in the very beginning, the creation story. We were born without clothes, but it was the disobedience of Adam and Eve that led to shame by being naked. But in heaven, that'll all be gone. New body, new clothes, and we'll live forever. Well, as we think about what heaven is like, some of you have questions. And that's good to know, that these questions will be answered when we get to heaven. We only see in part, Paul tells us now, 1 Corinthians 13, we only see through a glass darkly, but one day we will see fully. We only see in part now, but one day we will see completely. We will see and we will know and we will be known fully. This day is coming where everything will be answered in the presence of the Lord. There will be perfection in heaven. Think about it. All that's not perfect with our lives and our world, all the brokenness, all the hurt, all that is wrong, but yet in heaven, it's going to be perfection. Think about it. Perfection. We're going to be in the presence of God's glory. And it's going to be perfection, the whole environment, perfection. We'll join in with that perfection. Our righteousness will be perfected in heaven. There will be animals in heaven. What will it be like? There'll be some animals. Now, this is where Billy Graham's book was helpful. Actually, there's biblical teaching about that. In Isaiah, talking about Mount Zion, talking about the city of God in the future, says that the lion and the wolf will lay down together in that kingdom. Jesus, in Revelation 19, when he comes again, you know how he's coming in? He's riding a horse. Where did that horse come from? There's going to be horses in heaven. They're going to be a symbol of victory, as when Jesus comes in riding a horse, Revelation tells us. So there'll be animals in heaven. God blessed the creation of animals. He said everything he created was good. We'll see more of that in heaven. Also, heaven's going to have no more sin. No more sin in heaven. Think about all the problems that are a result of sin in our lives, in the lives of others. There's going to be no sin in heaven. What will it be like? No sin. Perfect environment with no sin. Also, heaven is going to have no more disease. No more cancer. No more maladies that go on for life. No more heart conditions. No more worries of diabetes. No more worries of all kinds of things that can worry us. The end of disease. This week I have fought my sinuses, you can probably tell. You know, in the beauty of heaven and the splendor of heaven, there's not going to be allergies. Going to be able to enjoy it. This coronavirus, it won't be anymore. Be gone. All viruses will be gone. There'll be no more disease in heaven. If we look to heaven, there's going to be food. Really? Food in heaven? I'm hoping there's going to be rows and rows and rows of green peanuts. It's my favorite food. I love boiled peanuts. I love green peanuts. I love roasted peanuts. I love raw peanuts. I love Cajun peanuts. I like salted peanuts. Sounded like Forrest Gump, right? About shrimp. But I just love peanuts. And if there's not peanuts in heaven, there must be something even better than peanuts up there. Well, you're thinking, he's lost it now. Where does it say there's going to be food in heaven? Like, well, in our communion ritual, you probably have heard those words, until we are together and feast at his heavenly banquet. There's going to not only be food, but fine food We won't need it with our imperishable body. We'll just be enjoying it because of the taste. Won't that be great? And we won't have to have restrictions on what we eat. We'll just enjoy the taste of it. And the taste, anything in this world, is going to be so much better in heaven. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good, as the scripture teaches us. It's going to be food. There's going to be rewards, or rather, there's going to be treasures claimed because we've stored them up in the course of our lives. You remember that teaching of Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can consume and the thief can break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven. We're going to see that verse in a different way. We're going to be able to claim the heavenly treasures we have placed in heaven. We're going to be able to see the fruits of our life in many, many times over in heaven. We're going to be able to see transparent streets. Now, some call this streets of gold. Are there streets of gold in heaven? It does say that in the scriptures, but if you read clearly, it's the clarity, it's the being able to see through the streets. It's transparent. So all the righteousness in heaven will be transparent, and all of our ways in heaven on these highways will be clear and transparent. And it's going to glisten as we live in this life together. There will be transparency in heaven, and it'll be blinding. But our eyes will be able to perceive this. There will be joy in heaven. There will be joy in heaven. The greatest joy we've ever known on earth, you can multiply it how it's going to be in heaven. We've only seen a glimpse of joy in this life. Our greatest joy is going to be multiplied many times over in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what about the people we don't care for in this world? I'm sure you've thought about that and said, well, if I get to heaven and somebody I didn't care for in this life is in heaven, how's that going to work out? If I've been married a couple of times and I've got multiple wives in heaven, how's that going to work out? So here's one answer that I believe has reality to it through the scriptures. Because of our righteousness in heaven, we are going to see the best person. We're no longer going to see the sinful, fallen person. We're going to see the best in people in heaven. We're going to be at our best. Our friends are going to be at our best, their best. And those that maybe we're concerned about, they're going to be at their best. And we'll all be in a state of seeing the best in each other. The way it can be now when the kingdom of God is on earth. One final word about what is heaven like. Jesus is going to be there. We're going to get to see Jesus. And we've been worshiping on this earth, proclaiming Jesus, sharing Jesus, singing about Jesus. We're going to actually be in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that going to be something? To be in the presence of Jesus our Lord. So, what is our ultimate goal in all of this? The biggest goal is, and this again we find in 2 Corinthians, is beginning with chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight, and we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Our biggest goal in life is to please God. And when we get to heaven, we're going to continue that, pleasing God. That is our biggest goal. It also says that heaven is our ultimate home. Our shell, our outward body, our perishable body is going to die one day. but our spirit will go on and live in eternity. And in this, we will be home. B.J. Thomas had a song many years ago called Home Where I Belong. And heaven is going to be home for us. It may come in a year, 10 years, 20, 50, 100. But it's our real home. And we're a little homesick when we come to worship. We want to be in heaven now. When I was in college back at Livingston University, I also roomed with a Baptist preacher. He was a student, Matt. And you might have thought, said, well, I was, all these Baptist things I did back then. I said, well, the Baptists, that's all that was around. I pastored a Methodist church. But for fellowship, we were all together. And so I roomed with Matt for 2 years. And I shared many stories with Matt about heaven. But I'll never forget the night before most exams, I would hear Matt in the next room saying, Lord Jesus, come. Come now. I don't want to take this exam. Come now. And our biggest goal in life is to live our life to the fullest, this life that God has given us here on earth. And when our time comes, we need not be afraid, because heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a wonderful place. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the promises of heaven. We pray that we will give people heaven on this earth so that we can all join in one day and be in heaven together. We pray this in Jesus' name.